the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God hears our plea for mercy and forgives all of our sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I assure you that all of your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm finding myself in the midst of you.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to God, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 1 Peter. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world and was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. So your faith and hope are in God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the Alleluia prayer.
Gospel readings recorded in Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Then Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the gospel of the Lord. We join in professing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of life, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated, and if the children would come forward. Good morning. How is everyone this morning? Good. Can anyone tell me what our theme for this morning is in the Believe series? What did you talk about in Sunday school? The Bible. Okay. So, most of us probably have a Bible at home, right? And hopefully we read that Bible, right? Okay. So who in here is a pretty good, strong reader? Okay. Would you want to read? Who wants? Some hands went down. That would be me too. Who wants to read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 for me? Okay. Cade, you want, since you're close, okay. All right, here we go. Right there. Can you read that?
No clue.
He said no clue.
That is weird. Why is it Japanese?
No. I actually handed him the Hebrew Bible, the original language of it. And you notice that Hebrew is strange. Have you ever picked up a magazine and you pick it up and you kind of page through it from the back to the front like this?
Yep.
That's because the Hebrews had it right and we have it wrong. No, just kidding. In Hebrew, it goes from what we would call the back of the book to the front of the book, and you read from right to left. And that says right there, in the beginning, Bereshith, bara, created Elohim. God created in the beginning the earth, heavens and the earth.
No offense, Pastor, but none of us can read that.
Oh, you can't read that? Okay. All right. Well, I can only read just a little bit. And this is, I had to learn this at the seminary. But I don't use it very much, so when you don't use something, you kind of forget it.
How would you say it in American?
I just did. In the beginning is Bereshith. And bara is created. Elohim is God. And actually, that's plural for God, but we're not going to get into all that. But anyway... So anyway, my point is this. We have an English Bible. Hopefully you have an English Bible, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe if you have a Spanish Bible and you can read Spanish. I actually have an old, what they call, Windish Bible. I can't read a word of it, but it was given to me by a relative. But hopefully the point is that we read our Bible, and what we want to understand about the Bible, whose word is it?
God's
word. It's God's word that He has given to us to live by. And unfortunately today, there are people who say that it was only meant for people back then and it doesn't really mean anything to us today. You think that's right or wrong? Does it mean something to us today? And it's still supposed to be our guide for the way we live, right? And so, hopefully... we have a Bible that we read, and that as we read, we can get excited about God's Word because it does have an impact on our lives. The Gideons are here today, and I was going to mention this in my message too. They pass out, hand out Bibles. They don't pass out. They hand out Bibles, okay? And they do this in a lot of different languages as well, but... we have a lot of different translations of the Bible in languages so that everyone can read it in their own language. And it has an impact on people's lives. It changes lives. And for us, it has changed our life because we know in God's Word, what do we have because of what God did for us by sending His Son? We have what? Forgiveness and life, right? And that's very important for us to know and remember. And we also need to understand that that forgiveness in life is for everyone in the world. And through God's Word, everyone can come to know who Jesus is. And so it's important for us to know that. It's important for us to share that message with the people around us. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day.
Thank you
for giving us
your
word
to live our lives by.
Help us to share your word with our family and friends so that more people can come to know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Freely open it and read it. Lord, we ask this morning that as we look into your word and as we understand what the Bible has in it, that we understand clearly that it is your inspired word that does guide our everyday lives. Lord, we ask that as we hear this word, that it enters into our mind and travels to our heart so that we can live these words out in the world. We ask that you would rid our minds now of just a few distractions that we might have so we can simply focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. To start off with, I just wanted to show a quick video clip. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could tell real clearly that it was a little blurry, but this was the first time that some Chinese Christians received a Bible. Kind of reminded me of my children's message at the end when they dive into the candy, right? You would have thought there was a box of candy that they had for those. But it was a bag of Bibles, and they were so excited to receive those Bibles. They were kissing them and clenching them and saying, this is what we really needed. This is all that we needed. And I thought about that, and you know, I didn't really notice. Of course, I didn't look out the door, but I didn't hear anybody coming over from the Family Life Center, jumping up and down and high-fiving each other and saying, man, that was cool what we learned in Sunday school about the Bible today. But is that maybe the attitude we should have? You know, I think we take a lot for granted in our world. I know this sounds kind of quirky, but I went and counted all the Bibles that we have in our church and in our Sunday school rooms. What those Chinese people loved and were excited about, we have over 225 of them in our pews and in our Sunday school rooms. Plus, I didn't count these, there's a couple of boxes out in the storage building that are just sitting there. And yet there's people that would love to get their hands on a physical Bible. I know that most of you probably have several Bibles at home. I thought, well, I'm just going to see what I have in my office. And this right here is what I had in my office. Now, some of them mean something to me. I don't personally use every single one of them in a week's time. But some of them have some sentimental value to me and you know, it being God's Word. This one right here was the first Bible that was given to me by my parents in 1974 on my birthday. So I was 8 years old. It's kind of seen a better days, but you know, even though the pages in the back is worn, it's still the Word of God. I have the one, it's a translation. This is, by the way, is the one that's out in the storage building, a couple of cases if you'd like one of these. This is an American translation. It was adopted at one point by our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It didn't stay in very long, but this is the one I used for my confirmation class. This was given to me at my confirmation class. I have one that was given to me by Riley. Wasn't even born yet. That means Jaylee wasn't either. But it says, to Daddy, from Reagan Keith and Jonathan Heath, Father's Day, June 19th, 1994. It was a men's devotional Bible, so you can read, and then it has little devotions in there that go with some of the readings. So there's various Bibles up here. As I said, with the children, the Hebrew Old Testament, the Greek New Testament. I even have a Septuagint, which is a Greek copy of the Old Testament, translated from Hebrew into Greek. And then this one here, it's funny how, you know, different churches come up with names. The Church of the Open Door. Well, hopefully all churches have an open door. You know, here's the Bible, the Spirit-filled one. Well, hopefully all of them are Spirit-filled, right? So this is fascinating. Oh, and this one right here was given to me by my uncle. Can't read a word of it. If anybody knows Windish, you can read it to me, okay? But what I've... You know, why it's hard to let go of some of these things, it's a name in the front is Mr. Gerhard Simek, which I believe was my great grandfather, Bell County, Texas, 1897 is when it was given to him. So it's a kind of a unique Bible. My point is this. We've been talking about core beliefs of Christianity. Core beliefs that a Christian church need to have, core beliefs that a Christian needs to live by, in my opinion, in order to call themselves a Christian. And we looked, you know, the first Sunday in January, that we believe the God of the Bible is the only true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that only true God is involved in and cares about our personal daily lives. Last week we looked at the Bible and it salvation. You know how salvation, when the world would like to say you can come to know or get to heaven, there's salvation for whoever, whatever they believe in, we're all going to the same place. Well, hopefully we understood clearly from the Bible that there is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. I thought as we progressed along, it might get a little easier, the topics. But today, as we look at the Bible, we have to ask the question, what is the Bible? And if it's such a valuable tool for us to use, what's its importance and where did it come from? And we're not going to go into all the details on that, but first of all, for the key point, if we can put that on the screen, our key point for today is I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and it has the right to command my belief and actions. Really, there's two parts to this belief. The first one is I believe the Bible is the Word of God. So first of all, we have to recognize and understand that the Bible is the true Word of God. And that goes along with the key verse for today. How many of you know John 3:16? Yeah, for God so loved the world, okay? This is another 3:16 passage. This will help you remember this maybe, except it's 2 Timothy 3:16, and we're going to throw in verse 17 as well. But it says, why don't you read this with me? All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And so from scripture we see that these words on the pages of the Bible we have, they are the God-breathed, inspired Word of God. Men wrote them, but God, through the Spirit, worked these words into these men. And so what we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod believe about the Bible is that the words in the Bible are actually true. Now, I know that sounds kind of funny to say that, but there are some Christians, and unfortunately, some Christian denominations today that are beginning to say, well, that's what the Bible says, but that's really not relevant for our life. It was only relevant for the time period in which they were written, to the culture in which they were written in. Now, we want to make it clear that God's Word is the inspired, true Word of God, period. And why do we say that? Because the Bible says it. And I know that that's not sometimes a satisfactory answer for some people, but that's simply the way it is. What gives people a problem, if we could go back to the key belief, what gives people a problem is the second part of this belief, is the Word of God has the right to command my belief in actions. Now, you can probably think of instances where people will take Scripture and turn it into something that it's not intended to be. In fact, we in the Lutheran Church say that we're going to read the Bible in a literal manner, which means whatever the words say, there is an intended meaning behind those words. Some denominations today are taking a more liberal action and saying God's Word is not, we don't read it literally. It might have been intended for those people then, but we live in a different culture now, so it doesn't apply to the way we live today. But what we're saying here in the LCMS Lutheran Church is that God intended that reading to be read a certain way, that passage. He intended it for a certain group of people. He intended it to be read a certain way. And we have to read that passage through that lens. Now, for instance, I can't just make a passage say something that I want it to say, you know, to fit with my way of thinking or fit my lifestyle. I can't take that passage and turn it in so that it fits the way I want to live my life. But unfortunately, as we look around the world today, there are many people who would call themselves even Christians that are doing just that. What's fascinating is, don't get me wrong here, I'm not calling people Satan, but Satan did this to Jesus. And I did not really notice this. I mean, I guess I realized it, but it really came to my attention this time in reading this passage. But when Jesus is tempted by Satan, we all know that Jesus answers with Scripture, right? You know, do not tempt the Lord your God. Man does not live on bread alone. But the second temptation, Satan actually uses Scripture himself. And he tries to twist and turn it to trick Jesus. And the second temptation is, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, and this is a quote from Psalm 91. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And so it's ironic that even Satan would use Scripture to tempt Jesus. And how often do we use Scripture and twist it to make it say what kind of fits along with what we want it to say? And I think we do that maybe on a fairly regular basis. We use it to justify our actions or to justify our words. And so as we read Scripture, we're going to read Scripture looking at, in context, the literal meaning of that Scripture, and then how does that apply to my life today? Now, I will say this. I can read a specific Scripture reading today, and I might read that same passage a month later, and I might read that same passage 6 months down the road, and I might read that passage a year, 2, 3 years down the road, and can that Scripture speak to me in a different way? Yes, but I still have to read it in the context and the meaning that God intended for it to mean. I can't read it today and it say one thing and then read it 6 months later and it say something completely different. Now, can it have a different impact on my life and the situation that I'm in at that moment? Sure, but it's always going to have the same intended meaning when we read Scripture. Here's the deal. I thought about this, and if we begin to question one passage in the Bible, what happens? The whole of Scripture becomes subject to questioning, right? If for instance, we question the creation account in Genesis, what can we question? We can question the rest of the Bible. We can even question the incarnation of Jesus Christ, which some people do. We can question his death. We can question his resurrection. I mean, if we question one thing and we say, oh, it didn't literally mean that, or this really didn't happen, what can we do with our Bibles? We can basically throw them away, right? We don't need them. Because if we're going to determine what Scripture says anyway to fit our lifestyle, then it's going to be pointless for us. And I'm going to say that in our Gideon presentation here in a moment, that we're going to be told some stories about how the Bible changed some people's lives. And if that Bible does not have a meaning, and we determine what that Bible says, how's it going to change a life? It can't. It cannot speak to us if we're going to be the one that interprets what it means. God had an intended meaning for that Bible, for the words on those pages, and they are to guide our lives. They are to help us as we live our lives in this world. The Spirit works through those words to bring people to Himself. They are powerful. And they are His words. And they're not intended for us to mess around with. Most importantly, we know that those words bring salvation and life through Jesus. When the Bible says Jesus was born in that stable, what does the Bible mean? Or in that manger, I should say manger, because it doesn't say stable. He was born in a manger, right? When the Bible says that He was arrested and that He was beaten and flogged, what does that mean? He was arrested and beaten and flogged. When the Bible says He was crucified on a cross, what does that mean? He was crucified on a cross. When He died and was placed in a tomb, what does that mean? It means He was died and He placed in a tomb, right? What does it mean when it says on that first Sunday or that first morning of the first day of the week and the women and the disciples went and found the empty tomb? What does that mean? They found an empty tomb and Jesus had been raised to life. Why? To bring you forgiveness in life. God's word says what it means. And that meaning is for us and the life and salvation that we have through Jesus. I pray that we can hold to this belief. I would like for you to say this with me. I believe the Bible is the Word of God and has the right to command my belief and actions. It does. We talked about this in Bible class. Every aspect of our life, whether it's our work, whether it's our school, whether it's at home, whether it's here in the church, everything should be guided by God's Word. And it is His Word. It's God-breathed, and it trains us, it teaches us, and yes, sometimes it even stomps on our toes and corrects us, right? And praise God, because all of that means forgiveness in life for us. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We stand for our prayers. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks again for this day and especially for Your Word. Lord, we ask that as Your Word speaks to us, that it does soften our hearts and Lord, that we understand fully that Your Word is true and that Your Word brings forgiveness in life. Lord, we ask that You would be with all of those who are sick and struggling, especially those who are faced with the challenges of cancer, treatments, recovery, whatever they are experiencing right now, we ask that You would be with them. Lord, we lift up today Louis Donahue, who was hospitalized this past week with some heart issues. Lord, we can lift Betty Odom up, who has cancer in her lung and is waiting for the treatment plan. Lord, be with Charles Johns, who is hospitalized in Temple, who had his gallbladder removed. Lord, we pray for Norma Kunkel, who had a pacemaker put in. And Lord, we lift up Alan Watson today, who will be having a heart ablation tomorrow in Austin. Lord, we place all of these individuals into your care and those that we name in our hearts. Lord, bring healing to their bodies. Lord, strengthen them and help them to look to you for that strength each day. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift up the families of Roland Poe and Nelda Gatewood, who passed away this past week. Lord, we ask that you would surround these families with your love at this time. Lord, heal their brokenness. Lord, bring them comfort that only you can bring during this loss in their lives. And Lord, point them to the forgiveness in life, the assurance of eternal life that we have in your Son. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we continue daily to lift up our schools and our teachers. Lord, the task that the teachers have, we ask that you would give them the ability to carry them out. Be with our school administrators, too, as they carry out their duties. And be with the students as they learn. Help them to be respectful to the teachers as they do their jobs. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you for our LCMS church body. We pray that you would be with the leaders in all of our congregations and all Christian congregations as well as we carry forth your true word. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, we also thank you for Gideon's International, who is dedicated and spends countless hours distributing Bibles and distributing your word to various places and to various people. Lord, we pray that that word would continue to have an impact on people's lives as they read that alive word. And Lord, that many lives will be changed through it. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray all of these prayers and any other petitions that we have in our hearts and the words you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. We remain standing for our closing hymn.
Yeah.
You may be seated. And at this time, Carol Putnam will come up and give us a presentation on the Gideons.
Mary Kay Baird was on the FBI's most wanted list. Her and her husband were notorious bank robbers and safecrackers and had led a life of violence. She was apprehended in Alabama and placed in a jail there. When she went into the cell that she was in, she found a Gideon Bible similar to this laying there in her cell. She picked it up immediately and did not want to have anything to do with it, and she stuffed it under the mattress. After a time, she picked the Bible up and began reading it. And she came to a passage in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, which says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take away your heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Right there in her jail cell on the floor that night, she gave her heart to Christ. God had saved her. Mary Kay Baird was stricken by the prisoners and their many problems and their loneliness. If you've ever visited someone in prison, there's a sense of hopelessness, obviously, and there's a sense that no one cares for them. And rightfully so. Many of their relatives and things that would come to visit, they've placed them out of their life. Well, Mary Kay started, the Lord used Mary Kay to start the Angel Tree Foundation, which is a group that helps prisoners and their families reunite so there can be fellowship as a family again. She and this ministry has flourished even till this day. As many of you know, the Gideons International is a business and professional men's organization that our sole purpose is to bring people to Christ. That's our only purpose. And we do that through, as the pastor said, distributing God's word. Many of you recognize the Gideons because in every hotel, there's a Gideon Bible tucked away in the nightstand or something like that. And true, this has been an important ministry of the Gideons for the past 100 years. But we also distribute Bibles, and many of you recognize these New Testaments, to college and school children. And these Bibles go into the hand of the next generation, where our hope is that they will come to know Christ by receiving his word. And I would ask you, when you pray about that, not only that they would receive the Bible, but as the pastor says, they would open and read it. Because God's word is powerful. And if you read it, he can touch your heart. That's why we as Gideons distribute Bible. Because we're planting the seeds, and that's what I'm here to tell you about today. But only God can bring them to salvation by reading his word at that appointed time. As many as you know, many of the Gideons, we never get to see the results of our work. But it's in God's time, and he saves them when he's ready. We just try to make sure that the Bible's available when that time is there. Now, and we also distribute Bibles, as you know, to our police, medical, fire, and our people in the military. And we do that as well as prisons, excuse me. But, you know, God, you know, the pastor, it's quite fitting that he showed the video there, or the DVD, of people receiving Bibles in China. You know, what a gracious blessing. The Gideons are now legally in China distributing Bibles. I won't say what went on before, but they're legally there. And to this point, we've distributed over 3 million copies of God's word in China. What a blessing. Only God could have helped us accomplish that. Man could not have done that. And this year, with your help and support, we were able to distribute 85 million copies of God's Word around the world. The Gideons are in 200 countries around the world. And we distribute Bibles in over 90 languages, as the pastor had discussed. And so people can read it in their own language, which makes a significant difference in understanding God's Word. In April of last year, by God's grace and love, we distributed our 2 billionth copy of His Word since 1908. And we are so thankful for God's grace in allowing us to do that. The next testimony I'd like to discuss with you is about, Bernie. Bernie was an Australian businessman that traveled the world. And he was very successful in his business and very well off. Well, obviously, he stayed in a lot of hotels traveling around the world. And once in a while, he'd look at the Gideon Bible, but did not take it to heart. Well, things changed in Bernie's life. And he was in an eighth-story hotel room. And things had gotten so bad in his life, he went outside to jump off the balcony and end his life. Well, he changed his mind, or God touched him. He went back in, had a prayer, picked up the Gideon Bible and read it, and God saved him there in his hotel room. Well, that's not the end of the story. Because of God being so gracious and saving his life, he began a Bible study. And he became a radio Bible teacher, which is a miracle in itself. And his message was transmitted over 160 countries. Bernie was in Australia, and so it was the surrounding countries in Asia and so forth. And every week, and on 1,000 radio stations, and every week he receives testimonies that people were saved from his Bible teachings. And he calls that the ripple effect of one Bible. Here we have one Bible that saved Bernie, but he in turn is saving many people. And for your information, I, being a former banker, I like statistics, but did you know that in the lifetime of one hotel Bible, it has the potential to reach 2,300 people? Isn't that a blessing that one Bible can do that? If you would, turn to your the insert that we had today, and you say, well, Carol, what can we do? Well, the one thing we needed the most, as all of us need, is prayer. We would ask you to continue to pray for the Gideons and that the doors would stay open in these 200 countries, because we know in our world today how quickly that can change. We would also ask you to pray that the doors would be open in countries like Iran, Iraq, North Korea. God can do miracles in those countries if we can get into them. Where we came is in our human efforts. We can't do that, reach those people. And we would also ask you, even in our own nation, that the doors would stay open for the Gideons in hotels and schools and prisons and hospitals and to our military. Because in some school districts, we have to stand across the street from the campus in order to distribute our Bibles to the young people, and in colleges too. But you know, our world is changing. We just pray that we will still have those opportunities to pass those Bibles out to these people. And if the Lord has touched your heart today, to give something at the close, we'd appreciate that, because we need the funding to do that. God has opened up, you know, China and the Asian countries, and that's quite beneficial to the Gideons and the world, because one out of every three people in the world live in Asia. Can you know, just think of the significance of that we're able to get into those countries. And we would ask you to pray about it. One other thing is, in your display out in the foyer, you have these Gideon memory cards and appreciation. You can, my wife and I use these a lot. When someone passes away or a significant event in their life, we send a Gideon card and you pledge, you send a check and you donate Bibles in their name. And what a blessing that is to someone. And so please pray about those things. We would ask you to keep us, most of all, the Gideons, in our prayers. Pastor, I thank you for the opportunity to participate in the worship today. Congregation, I thank you for your attention, and may God bless you.